As the movement for police reform and racial justice continues across this country, a new investigation into an ex-cop is shedding light on the inner workings of the Kansas City, Kansas Police Department. The report out this month from KCUR and the Kansas City Star takes a deeper look at Roger Golubsky, a former detective accused of exploiting, including raping, black women to secure their testimony. Testimony that was sometimes false, but helped Golubsky close cases. Golubsky worked for the department for 35 years and retired in 2010. Today he's still facing a civil lawsuit and possibly a federal investigation. We want to warn listeners that there are disturbing details of a sexual nature in this story. For more, I'm joined by Dan Margulies, senior reporter and editor at KCUR, who's been working on this story with Steve Vockrock, an investigative reporter at the Kansas City Star. And Dan, before we dive into this complex story, and before anybody just dismisses it as one bad cop in one police department, can you tell us why it's important for the rest of the country to know about this investigation?
Yeah, sure, Cal. As we have learned from the demands for racial justice over this past year, it is not a singular case. But it is an example of how somebody was able to do what he did with impunity over decades. Clearly, his superiors had to know what was going on, and they either turned a blind eye or lent what he did tacit support.
Well, let's talk about one of the most troubling cases that you document in your reporting, Dan. And this involves Roger Golubsky taking advantage of a man's mother, and then that man, Lamont McIntyre, goes to prison for 23 years, wrongfully convicted for a double murder that he did not commit, and he was just exonerated a few years ago. And McIntyre spoke with KCUR in 2017 and said some of the people he met inside prison helped him to not lose hope for justice.
It's one of those unbelievable situations where it's hard to fathom the idea of someone being wrongfully convicted for something he didn't do. But I had a few people with support system who believed in me, but it was difficult trying to get that belief outside of that system, because outside of that place, no one believed me at all. So it was kind of difficult.
Lamont McIntyre there talking about how he kept hope alive, serving 23 years in prison. Dan, why did his story inspire you to take a closer look at Roger Golubsky?
So as you said at the outset, Cal, he was exonerated after serving 23 years in prison for a double murder he did not commit. He was 17 years old at the time the murders took place in 1994. And Golubsky was the lead cop on the investigation, although he wasn't a homicide detective at the time. Golubsky, it turned out, had coerced Lamont McIntyre's mother into having sex with him before this crime occurred. The crime was drug-related, had nothing to do with Lamont, but Golubsky had a motivation to frame his mother's son after she sought to spurn his advances. And Golubsky also, it turns out, had been having sex regularly, according to numerous witnesses, with the one witness who actually had a clear line of sight to the killing, which consisted of somebody firing four shotgun blasts into a car in broad daylight, killing the two occupants of the car.
And so now Lamont McIntyre and his mother Rose, who you mentioned there, Dan, are filing a civil lawsuit against Roger Golubsky. And as you said, she alleges that he forced her to have sex with him. And she's not the first to make a claim like this. You got your hands on a recent deposition by Golubsky. So could you fill in the details of that? What did you learn about his alleged behavior and how it could have gone on for so long?
Right. So as you say, Colm, we got hold of the deposition of Golubsky. This was the first time that McIntyre's lawyers had a chance to question him face to face, albeit over Zoom. It's a fascinating deposition for any number of reasons. First, because Golubsky took the fifth on almost every single question he was asked. More than 500 times, Steve Vockrock and I counted, he invoked the Fifth Amendment. And secondly, what's interesting about this deposition is that the line of questioning pursued by the McIntyre's attorneys is very interesting in and of itself, even though Golubsky refused to answer the questions. They're represented, by the way, by an impressive team of lawyers with extensive experience in wrongful conviction cases, including a lawyer in Barry Scheck's office, Barry Scheck of O.J. Simpson fame. And her questions column basically painted a picture of a cop who had allegedly terrorized an entire community for decades by exploiting the power of his badge to demand sexual favors, as you said, of vulnerable black women and coercing some of them into fabricating testimony in order to clear cases.
So you're describing a really longstanding and systemic problem here, Dan. I mean, can you offer other examples of other cases where you know justice was not served allegedly because Roger Golubsky was abusing his power to solicit false testimony, and particularly the way he exploited black women, as you found?
Right. Well, Steve and I took a deep dive and looked into his entire career going back, and almost from the very beginning, Callum, we found cases that raised disturbing questions about his involvement in, you know, unresolved cases, shall we say. For instance, back in 1978, when he had been on the force for just a couple of years, a man whom he transported to a detoxification cell died of a tear to his abdomen. Now, Golubsky admitted striking the man with his nightstick. He was ultimately cleared of any wrongdoing in the case, but here again is an instance where, going back nearly to the very beginning of his career, we find disturbing allegations about his conduct. And, you know, what's so disturbing about this, Callum, is, as I said earlier, there is no way this man could have done the things he did without at least the tacit support of his superiors in the department. We know from testimony from witnesses in this case, the McIntyre case and other cases, that in a couple of instances, his fellow cops actually came upon him having sex in his office with women that he had detained. You know, what's interesting is that the Kansas City, Kansas Police Department not only turned a blind eye then at best, but continues to do so, it appears now, because, you know, when we ask them about all this alleged misconduct, they tell us that they never received any formal complaints regarding his misconduct, which is not true. But you can imagine how many complaints were not filed because people were absolutely terrified. And because they knew that, you know, those complaints would go nowhere. And in fact, if they did go anywhere, they would redound to the detriment of the people who filed the complaints. And they also tell us, when we ask the KCK Police Department for a response, that there's no one currently employed by the department who has personal knowledge of this matter, and that these things occurred decades ago. Well, some of them allegedly occurred up until the time that he retired about 10 years ago. So while he is retired now, he lives in the area, and people continue to be terrified, knowing that he's still out there and knowing that nothing has come of any of the investigations, at least so far, that have been launched into his conduct.
So the police department is saying they did not know about his behavior. What about Roger Golubsky himself? As you mentioned, he took the Fifth hundreds of times in that deposition. Has he addressed the allegations in another forum?
Not really. During the exoneration hearing 3.5 years ago, you know, I mean, through his attorneys, he denies any and all wrongdoing. So we try to get hold of him. We were not successful. We did get hold of his attorney, who represents him in possible criminal proceedings, because the FBI is supposedly looking into his conduct over the years, although there may be statute of limitations problems with some of that. But his criminal defense attorney declined to comment as well.
So the story is not over here, Dan. What do you think justice could look like in the end?
Well, you know, there is no way Lamont McIntyre is going to get back 23 years of his life. Neither will his mother be able to get back what Golubsky allegedly took from her by forcing himself upon her. But, you know, the hope is at least that they'll get some kind of financial recompense from the city for what happened to both of them over the years. And, you know, their hope, of course, is also that eventually justice will be done and that charges, criminal charges, will be brought. You know, if any good comes of the whole McIntyre debacle, the hope is that it will lead to systemic reform.
Dan Margulies is a senior reporter and editor at KCUR. Dan, thanks for bringing us this important story.
Thanks for having me.